Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 9. This will be the last in a series of three messages that I've shared with you on the making of a missionary. I wanted to share with you, I've got a little note here that came from a gentleman up in Indiana, written to the projector. He sent a check for $50. He says, I was an independent Bible pastor for 50 years, school administrator for 25, radio preacher for 10. I just had my 90th birthday. And I love your paper. That was very encouraging. And all I could think about as I read these simple words from this former pastor is who's going to take his place? Who's going to take his place? I think everybody asked that. I know missions agencies are asking, who's going to take the place of our missionaries coming home? Who's going to take the place of preachers that are retiring? Who's going to take the place of Christian school teachers that are retiring? I was commenting to someone recently. We were talking about that some of these mission boards now have policies that you have to retire at age 65. But the problem is that the people that have to go and take their place as interim missionaries are in their 70s. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They're retired ministers and whatever. They have to go and take their place on the field when they're retiring and coming home. So maybe we need to rethink that a little bit and not worry so much about retirement and let the Lord lead in that particular regard. But today I want to share with you some thoughts concerning a man that God called upon to be an encouragement to Saul in the midst of his calling. As a matter of fact, he became God's spokesperson to Saul about what he was going to be and what he was going to do. I think it's important for us to realize that oftentimes we can be individuals that can be a blessing and encouragement to someone when it comes to taking up responsibilities in the Lord's work. I don't know how many times I have thanked the Lord for different individuals in my life. Dr. Hobbs, Brother Randall Douglas, who in my early ministry were such an encouragement to me. Dr. J.B. Williams was a tremendous... He wrote me at least once a week for years. He would send me outlines that he had done. Now, he was terrible at typing. And I never saw so many misspelled words and typos as it helped me to become an editor. Because I looked at that and I said, what is that word that's there? Oh, it's an abbreviation that he used that only people that don't know how to type use on this particular thing. But it was an encouragement because he always put a sticky note on there and he said, listen, I preached this in Africa in 1952. And the Lord used this in a particular way, maybe be helpful in your study. I do not preach other people's sermons, but I do use their material to find out information and so forth. And he had a lot of helpful things, specifically about missions, that was helpful to me in those early years. And then Brother John Ashbrook oftentimes would call me just to encourage me. Whenever I went up to the mission, they had an OBF meeting up in Columbus, Ohio, and he said, Todd, I want to take you for a drive. I want to talk to you. And so we went for a drive, and I didn't know what was up. I didn't know if I had done something or whatever. And he just encouraged me. We went through Holmes County, Ohio, where all the Amish people are, and we just drove. We didn't stop anywhere. We just drove, and he talked the whole time. And he was just an encouragement, just encouraging. Here, you're a young man, and these are the things you're going to face. And your ministry, and here's some things that I found helpful that were shared to me from my dad, Brother William Ashbrook, who pastored for 50-something years there in Columbus. And he just shared some thoughts and tidbits with me that were just so helpful in my early years. And I think it's important that we have those kind of people in our lives. We need to be open and receptive to be taught from God's Word. And here was Saul. He had been stricken with blindness. Everything that he knows has been turned upside down. He had papers from Jerusalem to take these folks, and I can't do my job. I'm blind. And then God sends along this young man by the name of Ananias. He was just a disciple, a follower of the Lord, but God chose him to go and communicate with Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul, some important things that was able to help him And at the end of his time with him, the scales fell off of his eyes, and he was able to go out, and we're introduced to his first preaching opportunity in chapter 9. It's a tremendous story here of God using a man by the name of Ananias to encourage Saul. And we need to be encouragers. We need to be encouragers of our young people. We need to be encouragers of our missionaries. There's no excuse in our day of advanced technology for us not to communicate with our missionaries. There's no reason why you can't send an email. There's no reason if you've got the technology of Facebook and Messenger. This past week, I went back and forth with several missionaries. And so we ought to be encouraging our missionaries. We need to be communicating with them. Dr. Alvarez this morning was sharing with us about how important. He says, I call the pastors down there in South America all the time to encourage them. He said, they need that. They need me to do that. And he said, you know, it used to be we had high bills on long distance calls. Those have gone away. It didn't cost anything to use an app on your computer or whatever. You can call from your laptop. Did you know that you had that capability? You can do that from your iPad, your iPhone. You can be calling these missionaries and you can be talking to them. Several have nothing but time. And we need to be using it for God's glory instead of frittering it away and the hours go by and we haven't thought about one missionary. We haven't thought about one person we can pick up the phone and call. We haven't thought about anybody like that. Now, we need to get redeemed from that. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do with our time? Redeem the time, for the days are what? They're evil. We've got to be time redeemers. We've got to use every opportunity that we have rather than just letting hours fritter by and we're just kind of doing our thing now and we don't think about how we can be helpful, how we can encourage. It's not a hard thing to do. And God raised up an Ananias there in Damascus that He had prepared uniquely because He knew that there would be the time that Saul would come up there, he would be smitten, and he would need somebody to help him. And who did God put His finger on? Ananias. Let's look, please, at verse 10 of Acts chapter 9. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And by the way, Ananias is basically the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew word Hananiah, which means favored of the Lord. Hannah, the feminine, would be favored of the Lord. Hananiah, the male, gender, would be favored of the Lord. So his name indicates somewhat of his character. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Now to get this, God had already appeared to Saul to communicate to him that there was going to be a man by the name of Ananias that was going to come, and through Ananias, he was going to receive his sight. How the Lord is working in all these different things? Because He's making a what? He's making a missionary. He's making a missionary. Verse 13, then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now think about that. He must suffer great things for me. A man who caused much suffering to others is going to have to suffer much for me. Now, we could talk about the law of retribution in the Scriptures that basically says what goes around comes around. But in this particular instance, God had a perfect reason for this. As he suffered, he was made into a missionary that could communicate the Word of God and that was ready in a moment's notice to talk to a king or to talk to a prison guard. Isn't that wonderful? God was using the sufferings that Paul would endure to make a missionary who would be able to do a tremendous work for God. Now, I want us to look further here. And Ananias went his way, verse 17, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and, what else? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now, who would have been among the disciples which were at Damascus? What man that we just named? Ananias. For we're told back up in verse 10 that a certain disciple, Ananias, who lived in Damascus, was called upon by God to be an encouragement. So here we see Ananias. He's visiting with these disciples. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. What has he begun? He's begun his work as a missionary. He's begun his work as a missionary. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this moment take to heart some of the thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. Father, I thank you for this man, Ananias, whom you used to encourage Saul in this moment of doubt, not understanding what had happened to him, not understanding that he had been transformed for a purpose and a reason. And God called upon Ananias to communicate that to him. We pray, Father, that we might understand that you have raised up all around us those that can help us, those that can be an encouragement. And I pray that we might be those, like the disciples there at Damascus, who were willing to be used of thee to be a help to Saul as he begins his ministry. For I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, that Ananias was an answer to prayer. Ananias was an answer to prayer. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been the answer to somebody's prayer? I see some of you right now internally scratching your head. I don't know if I've ever been an answer to somebody's prayer. I know that some of you have been an answer to prayer to me. So I can say that as a pastor. You've been an encouragement and a blessing to me. But here we find that Ananias was the answer to a prayer. Now, I want you to see this, please, in verse 11. For we find here that the Lord says unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. It gives him directions, GPS location, of where to go, a house that belonged to Judas. For one called Saul of Tarsus is there. For behold, he what? He prayed. You know, I've often wondered, what was he praying for? I'm sure that he had prayed many times as a religious man, but perhaps they were like the prayers of the Pharisee that we're told about, who beat his hands upon his chest and said, I'm glad I'm not like these sinners that are around me here. I'm glad that I'm not like them. But I think that Saul's prayers here were genuine. Lord, I need to know what you're doing. I thought I was doing your will. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do in going after these Christians, but he's finding out that that wasn't God's will. He's finding out that God has a different purpose for him. And so Ananias was the answer to Saul's prayer. I want to encourage you. Whenever you give to missionary endeavors, you are an answer to prayer. Our missionaries are praying that God would provide. We pray here at Grace Bible Church all the time. The reason we take the time to put the missionary prayer bulletins in your hand is so that you can pray for our missionaries. And one of the prayers that we pray in the very front of the prayer booklet is for God to provide their needs. And so when you give, you're answering the prayers of God's saints. We need to understand that. A missionary posted a quotation of J.C. Ryle in his last prayer letter and said this, "The highest form of selfishness is that of a person who is content to go to heaven alone." Now listen about that. That was a quote from 160 years ago from J.C. Ryle, famous preacher. "The highest form of selfishness is that of the person who is content to go to heaven alone." Not to want to take your wife and children with you. Content to go alone. Now, I don't understand that mentality, but there are some people that live that way. They're just content to dawdle along through life, and they just do their thing, and they piddle from day to day, and they don't have an active prayer life. They do not have the desire to be the answer to someone's prayer. There may be a neighbor down the street that's praying, "Lord, I don't understand." Ananias was the answer to Saul's prayer. Now, wait a minute. Think about this. Ananias was not a famous apostle. Ananias was not a prophet. Ananias was not an apostle. Ananias was simply who? A disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, you don't have to have a PhD or a theology degree or a pastoral training degree to be an answer to somebody's prayer request. Are you listening to me now? This is all part of the making of a missionary, and a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, was instrumental in helping Saul. And he's able to minister after several days with the disciples at Damascus, the followers of Christ. He's able to preach his first sermon and to contend with the Jews and to preach unto them whom? Christ. He debated with them and preached unto them Christ. You know, and what were they wondering the whole time? Their jaw was probably dragging on the ground. This was the one who came to Damascus and had papers in his hand to take us to prison, and he's defending and preaching Christ to us? You know what we call that? That's called a gospel transformation. And Ananias and the disciples at Damascus were able to play a role in encouraging. I want you to see a second thing here. Ananias was given a mission to communicate God's calling and will unto Saul. Look at verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias would be one to communicate with him those needs. Turn over to Acts 22 for just a moment. This passage comes to mind in this regard because Paul, later on in his life, I believe it's in verse 12. Yeah, he gives a testimony about this man who helped him. Let's begin reading in verse 10. "And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." Who told him? Ananias. Ananias told him. Ananias communicated what God had shared with Ananias. "I have great things planned for him." And notice verse 11. "And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him." God had a mission for Ananias. He would be God's representative before kings, Gentiles, and Jews. God told that to Ananias. Ananias knew that when he walked in the door and saw Saul for the very first time. He knew that God's hand was upon that man that had killed Christians and had arrested them. God had a calling for them. And also that this man who stood before him blind was going to suffer many things for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Ananias would be the catalyst for three other things. What is a catalyst? Maybe you sat through chemistry class, and when you weren't sleeping, you were actually listening, and they talked about a catalyst. A catalyst is some type of chemical compound that speeds up a reaction. It moves things along and makes it happen a lot quicker. Well, that was Ananias. He was a catalyst for three things. Number one, the restoration of the Apostle Paul's eyesight. We see this mentioned three times in the book of Acts, that through Ananias, Saul's sight would be restored. We see that in this passage in Acts 22, where Paul gives testimony of that. Saul, receive thy sight. And we're told that the scales fell off of his eyes. We learn later that Paul's vision is impaired in his later life, and he is forced to write very large letters when the amanuensis, the scribe that wrote most of Paul's letter, when it would come to the end, Paul would write maybe a postscript, and he wrote in very large letters. So we know that this restoration of eyesight was not the giving of supernatural eyesight that lasted all of his days. It was just the restoration of his eyes to what they were before. But this eyesight would carry him before kings and before churches all across. You saw that map this morning. Wasn't that helpful? Well, that was a good illustration here. I've got to figure out how to do that. That was really good, all the different arrows and stuff like that. I know Dr. Watt can do that. I'm still drawing on paper. But, that was very helpful to see how God was working and taking it right down the middle of the Roman Empire. Did you note that? Right into the heart of the major cities all across that area. What a blessing! And it would all start on the road to Damascus. And one of God's disciples going alongside Saul and encouraging him and bringing him into the place where he would see the truth. Number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit took place as a result of Ananias' visit. Now, Ananias did not impart the Holy Spirit. That's God's work. But he was there and witnessed the infilling of the Spirit of God within this man that would go forth from that place and preach his first messages in Damascus, right down the street from his house. This man who killed Christians would deliver a Christian message and exalt the name of Jesus Christ and debate with the Jews that this was indeed the Christ, the promised one. Remember, Orthodox Judaism, they do not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They just think that he was a good rabbi. He's not the Messiah, though. The Messiah has not come. And who are they going to call the Messiah? The Antichrist. They're going to be duped twice. Once for not believing the testimony of the true Messiah, and then secondly for believing the testimony of a person who's not the Messiah. And then thankfully one day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He touches down on Jerusalem's Mount Olive, I'm going to tell you something. They will look upon Him whom they have pierced, and they will say, He is our Messiah. He was there, Ananias, at the filling of the Holy Spirit in this man's life, and then also he was a witness and probably participated in the baptism of Saul. For that took place there. We read that in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight and arose and was baptized. Who do you think was there and probably conducted the baptism? Ananias. He was instrumental in that early stage of the transformation of a Christian killer into a born-again Christian who would go and seek to tell others about becoming a Christian. He was there to help with three things as God's witness. Doesn't stop there, though. The connection between Saul and Ananias was helpful because I am sure that Saul was overwhelmed by the situation. He prayeth, and Ananias was the answer to that prayer request. He was confused, for he thought he was doing God's will and harassing Christianity, the way, as it was called. And he found out through supernatural means that his work was not of God. Can you imagine thinking over your life, thinking that you're doing God's work, and then you finally realize that what you were doing was not God's work, but you were working against God? Some people might go into a state of depression. What have I been doing all these years? Let me tell you something. The greatest place you come to the moment you're saved is, first of all, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but now you've got a real purpose. The who question and the what question. You can live with regrets from the past, but I'm going to tell you something. That's why the Bible says, forget those things which are behind and reach forth to the mark of God, the upward calling of God. Stop worrying about the past. You can't go back and fix that. You have the purpose that God's given you now. And that's what Paul was able to do from that moment on. Ananias was a believer in Christ who showed great courage in going to Saul, not knowing fully all that had happened to him, but was willing to be used of God to encourage this new believer. And as a result of Ananias' work, we find immediately that the apostle Paul begins his preaching ministry, his work of being a missionary. A missionary had been made by God and some of his helpers who came alongside to assist. Let me just encourage you with something. The story of Ananias to me is a great blessing because he just was a simple follower of Jesus Christ, and God used him to assist in the calling of the greatest apostle that ever lived. He had a role in that. You never know, Christian, what kind of help you can provide to someone that may go on and do great things for God and they got their encouragement from you. You can be an Ananias. You can be the answer to somebody's prayer. And I pray that you have that kind of desire and spirit in your heart and life. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here tonight. And we just ask that you would allow this testimony that's given to us, almost 8 verses of Scripture dedicated to one man who was willing to go in spite of the fact that the one he was going to see was a Christian killer, one who had papers from Jerusalem to arrest Christians and put them in jail. But he was willing to do what you had for him to do and encourage Saul at that time to go out and to do and to suffer many things for thee. Lord, I pray that you would raise up some Ananiases here at Grace Bible Church, some disciples who will follow after thee and be the answer to somebody's prayer. Lord, we don't know that when we stop and talk to somebody about the Lord that they may have been praying all along. I think about the man in Macedonia who cried out to God, and Paul went to Macedonia in answer to his prayer, and many others who prayed, and God provided. Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, a man praying, not understanding his Bible, and God brought him Philip to understand. Lord, you've got these examples in Scripture for a reason to teach us, and I pray that you'd raise up from this church some Ananiases that will go forth and be an answer to somebody's prayer. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.